This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
49ers take it to the Jets last night, Monday Night Football. Welcome to the show, Maggie. Great Andrew Perloff. So much to get to. 49ers, big win, 32-19. Whatever offseason drama was there with the 49ers, well, it didn't really look like anyone was on a different page. I mean, a couple Brandon Ayuk drops, so maybe he's got some rust. But Trent Williams, who had been holding out all of training camp, basically played the entire game until it was out of reach, needed an IV, but played very well and didn't allow this ferocious Jets pass rush, which we thought was going to be this amazing unit. It might still be throughout this season, but really didn't allow, you know, too much pressure on Brock Purdy. The 49ers ran the ball brilliantly, and it wasn't Christian McCaffrey, Pearl. He was a late scratch. Instead, Jordan Mason was your man, 147 yards on 28 carries.
Yeah, wow. I mean, the reincarnation of Elijah Stewart and Matt Breida and all the other all the other undrafted guys who come out of nowhere in a Kyle Shanahan offense and just kill it.
You know what? This was vintage 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Kyle Shanahan knows how to dial up a play for an undrafted running back. I thought he put on a masterclass last night, kind of finding the weakness in the Jets defense. The Niners had a lot of turmoil in the offseason. I think they wanted to control the game, keep it slower, not get in a shootout. And the running made Brock Purdy's job easier. And then he looked, after the first couple drives, like he looked on point.
I don't know if the Jets are built for a shootout right now. Garrett Wilson is awesome. And Breece Hall was good. Probably could have been better. Had a bad fumble, but he's clearly a weapon. I mean, I know he went first in a lot of fantasy drafts. Like, I think he's going to get numbers. It's not that. It's just Mike Williams didn't play a lot of snaps last night. Yep. He basically missed all of training camp. Alan Lazard was big with two touchdowns, one from Aaron Rodgers. The other one was from Tyrod Taylor when the game was out of reach. But I know this is weird to say. Are they like a weapon short?
Oh, I don't know. How do you determine after last night when they didn't have the ball a lot? If Breece Hall could get 4 yards on first down.
I'm thinking about Davante Adams, if I'm being honest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be nice, but I don't know how you can say that after last night's game. Who knows what they were? Basically, the Niners had how many 9-minute drives did they have? And the officials kept calling all these holds and stuff that actually elongated the drives.
Yep.
The worst enemy of a quarterback is the opposing team's run game. If you can't stop the run, there's no way your quarterback's going to light it up. A, he's not going to have the ball enough. B, he's not going to have any rhythm. Aaron Rodgers got out of rhythm, and he's rusty already. Last night was a perfect storm to keep Rodgers' numbers down. But I saw a quarterback who could sling it still. There's no doubt that arm is still there.
Well, and he's just so freaking accurate, you know? The ball is just always in the right place. And whether you're not the guy makes a play or the defense makes a good play, it never feels like Rodgers is putting the ball in the wrong place to the 16th of an inch. I mean, yeah, he's definitely still got it. He got through the game healthy. They took him out with about 4.5 minutes left to go, though. When the game was, you know, again, out of reach, Tyrod Taylor came in, and I think you're going to see that quite a bit.
I think Jets fans should look at this as a preseason week 4, and this game was a warm-up game, in a sense. I think all of week 1 is like that. You saw so many odd performances out there. The Jets' schedule gets much, much easier. This is a hard assignment to go to San Francisco, especially when San Francisco gets on their run game. I have no panic about the Jets. I picked them to win the AFC East. Feel okay about it if Rodgers stays healthy.
Yeah. No Christian McCaffrey, though. You're hoping, all right, maybe we're not going to get gashed on the ground. That's exactly what happened. Robert Saleh's defense, I mean, not just the, you know, and this is what happens. When you're able to run the ball effectively, then all of a sudden the middle of the field is open because you got to bring extra guys to try to get, you know, Jordan Mason on the ground in the box. And then Brock Purdy had some what looked like very easy throws in the middle of the field, whether it was to Debo, whether it was to Kittle, had one nice one, whether it was to Juwan Jennings.
Those are not easy throws.
Well, they look easy because there wasn't a Jets defender within two arms lengths.
Totally. But like the one to Kittle, like he looped it in so perfectly. And he made a throw to the corner of the end zone to Brandon Ayuk that Ayuk couldn't pull in. That was gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, I was actually thinking, ooh, he's pretty elite. I when he has time, when the situation's right. It's hard with a Kyle Shanahan quarterback, but Shanahan will always get some of the credit. Man, if they get that version of Brock Purdy, he's going to get $65 million a year next year.
Probably.
They're going to be really good.
Perloff wearing the Brock Purdy for MVP t-shirt today.
Yeah,
sent to us by a very nice listener and his son, whose picture we have in our office.
Yeah, the Niners are going to have to tone down their run game to get Brock Purdy the MVP.
Yeah, I think Jordan Mason was definitely the MVP of the game last night.
Definitely.
For the 49ers. No doubt about that. You're welcome to weigh in 855-212-4227. Were you expecting a little more from the Jets? Be honest. Were you expecting a little more from the Jets in their debut, especially no McCaffrey? Were you disappointed? And then on the flip side, to me, toast of the NFL right now after week one, so take that for what it's worth. This is Kansas City and San Francisco. To me, look like they were, maybe I hesitate to say head and shoulders. Can I say shoulders above everyone? I don't know.
That's absolutely true, but we don't usually see rematches of Super Bowls. It's been a long time.
I know. It has been, but this one, just no trace of a Super Bowl hangover for either of these guys. We're also talking about Tyreek Hill. The body cam footage gets released yesterday, and you know, it's disturbing how he gets pulled out of his car and thrown to the ground. And you know, the body cam footage came out right away. The officer has been placed on administrative leave. And was Tyreek Hill perfect in how he handled this? No. I mean, they were asking him, first of all, he was speeding, so he clearly did something to get pulled over. Nobody is disputing that, not even Tyreek Hill. He's not saying that he wasn't speeding or maybe even driving recklessly. He was cited for speeding. But if we're really talking about how far a window is going, is getting cracked, 5 inches, 10 inches, whatever it is, for that to end with him in handcuffs on the sidewalk when he is not posing a threat, Pearl, I think that was very, very jarring. Oh,
yeah. I absolutely agree with that point. Once he was out of the car, he was definitely not posing a threat.
No, get him out of the car. Even if you just want him out of the car. Okay, sir, step out of the car. How that leads to handcuffs on the ground, knee in your back, all of that. You ask yourself, was the situation escalated or de-escalated by the police? And I even think that the police officer would tell you they did not de-escalate the situation. Let's go to Sean, wants to talk about this. Good morning, Sean. What's up, dude?
I think Tyreek Hill is 100% the problem. How long should the police officer stand there for him to roll his window down? I don't think this constitutes him being on the ground. He should not have been on the ground.
Right.
They could handcuff him standing up. But it's Tyreek is the problem. He escalated the whole situation. All he has to do is shut his mouth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Be going to get your ticket and going to your game. And hopefully the police officer don't do nothing crazy, even when you're saying yes, sir. Yes, officer.
Right, right.
But I think I blame Tyreek Hill for the whole entire situation. And one of those cops did not know it was Tyreek Hill. One of them said, do you know that's Tyreek Hill? And he said, is it? But, I blame Tyreek Hill. I really don't blame the police officers. But he didn't need to be on the ground, I'll say that. And Calais Campbell, I think he should not have been handcuffed. Every time I saw footage of him, he was backing up or backing away.
Yep.
But other than that, it's Tyreek Hill the problem. He just wouldn't shut his mouth.
You know,
and roll the window down.
Sean, thank you for weighing in with your perspective here, because I think that a lot of people will share what Sean is talking about, which is, all right, you get pulled over for speeding. When we first see the body cam footage, the window is down. And then
partially.
And then he puts it up.
Yeah.
And then they're knocking on the window and he puts it down like 3 or 4 inches, not the full way. And then puts it back up. And that's when they pull him out of the car.
Yeah.
And was there a yes or no, sir? You can hear a little bit where he's just saying, why are you knocking my window like that? Why are you knocking my window like that? Don't knock on my window like that. So, no, it wasn't a yes or no, sir. But it definitely, it didn't seem like language that was offensive or aggressive. He was just saying, stop knocking on my window.
But this is not relevant to this case necessarily because there's a lot going on here. But you know the trick when you get pulled over, roll down your window and put your hands on the wheel at 10 and 2.
Right.
and cops know that you're being respectful. I've gotten out of tickets before. Like, that's anybody who's friends with the cops be like, cops, like, we appreciate when you do that.
Right.
And sometimes you'll get a pass on the ticket, for real. Because obviously we do recognize that's a really hard job to pull over people. It's got to be pretty scary. Now, what I'm
Also trained for it. Yes, it is scary, but you also are trained for it.
Oh, also, too, you had multiple cops there, like, yes, you really, you're very much like, you have a job, too, to not let it get out of control. And I don't think they did that job at all.
No, and the caller is right, too, about Calais Campbell, how he ended up in handcuffs on this whole thing. And, you know, the other cop goes to Jonnu Smith, and he's like, give me your license, give me your license, give me your license, give me your license. I mean, Jonnu Smith.
I didn't totally understand Jonnu Smith. He says, give me your license. Jonnu Smith just stares at him blankly. Like,
I wasn't sure if he was staring at the cop or staring at Tyree.
Well, yeah, I wonder if, was Jonnu Smith trying to primarily focus on being a witness? Because also, too, like, then if Jonnu Smith just reaches into his pocket and casually hands him his license, I thought that was interesting. I think Jonnu Smith was trying to watch what was happening with Tyreek Hill. But it definitely, like, that's why this goes to court. This would be really interesting because then we'll get every angle. There's probably more footage that we haven't even seen. So this, you know, this might really become a much bigger deal.
I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to press this further. If you're just asking me, I don't think he's going to. He already came out and said that he really respects cops, and he said, I want to be a cop. He said this after the Dolphins game, after they beat the Jags, which is kind of just... Okay, I mean, someone with his kind of track record, to be frank, should not be a cop. If you've been, found guilty of committing domestic violence, you should not be a cop, in my opinion. I don't think you should be able to have a gun if you've been in an altercation like that, in my opinion. Tyreek Hill's track record, not including what happened on Sunday, but his track record before this, does not been cop-like behavior, okay? But... Okay, let's take him at his word. He, or what you hope a cop is, right, has not been cop-like behavior. And he, to me, seems like, yeah, he went on CNN yesterday, but I don't know if he really wants... See, here's the thing, what's going to happen with this. You start suing the police, people are going to dig back into your past, too. You know, this becomes now, I think, maybe it shouldn't be like this, but we're going to start looking back at Tyreek Hill. What's every interaction and every single moment that he's had with law enforcement? And guys, beyond not Sunday, I'm not saying he deserved anything that happened to him on Sunday, but I'm just saying in Tyreek Hill's past, it is not good stuff. Not with the pregnant girlfriend, which he definitely did. And somehow his three-year-old ended up with a broken arm, and nobody knows what happened there. And there was definitely investigation whether it might have been him or his wife. So there's some really unsavory things in Tyreek Hill's past. Again, that has nothing to do with Sunday. We all watched the body cam footage. This is a totally separate issue. But, Pearl, to me, I think that plays into why he might want this to go away.
Yeah, I mean... I have no idea, because we have to ask Amy Dash, like, will all that stuff come out in court? Is it relevant? Would a judge let that go? I have no idea.
Well, his past is probably not relevant in that moment, but
it might be. I'm not sure.
You get people like me bringing it up. EJ, what do you think? Think he'll sue the police?
I mean, I think he will. I just feel like the machinations of what's moving since this whole thing started, like, it started with him being like, hey, I just want to move on. And it's become Drew Rosenhaus doing interviews everywhere. It's become Tyreek Hill doing interviews on CNN. He talked about wanting to use his platform to make this kind of a positive. I'm not sure if a lawsuit helps that, but I think at the very least, keeping the police accountable, I think, would probably be deemed good for the community. So I think it's leaning that way. I mean, I talked to you guys just a couple minutes ago. Like, Drew Rosenhaus is extremely powerful in South Florida. Stephen Ross, obviously massive influence in South Florida. Like, I can't imagine that those guys are going to want to let something like this high profile incident that, you know, the Dolphins, they weren't really embarrassed by this in terms of like him looking so terrible or their players, but just a negative story being centered around their star player and a guy who legitimately could have been injured or hurt in this incident. I can't imagine that all of those folks won't want a pound of flesh from this. So I'd expect some kind of legal action, whether Tyreek Hill wants it or not. And maybe that other stuff will come up from his past. But to be honest, Maggie, like, I think a lot of people have moves past that. Like, yep, the fact that they're wearing his jersey, the fact that he's this big star, the fact that the NFL has no problems promoting him on their social media, promoting him in their promotional ads. Like, you know, it's kind of wild when you kind of remember the stuff that he's been either convicted for or pled guilty to or been accused of. It feels like people have moved on from that. So I'm not sure if there'll be any trepidation from him to say, hey, what I have in my past, maybe this is not a good idea. I think that he's going to say, hey, I've moved past a lot of that stuff. So why not go out there and make this a thing?
EJ, I have a question. You're a Miami Hurricanes fan.
Yeah.
And Drew Rosenhaus has such a connection to that program. Like, he's got to know the police and everything that goes on down there, like the back of his hand. I'm curious what role he plays.
Yeah, and I think that's – and I think, to be honest, that's why that video was so jarring, because, you know, you guys mentioned that. Like, why is he saying, you know, call Drew instead of call the team? I think there's a chance that Drew Rosenhaus may have more pull, at least in an immediate instance, with the police than maybe the team would in that incident. Like, Drew Rosenhaus, like I said earlier, is extremely, extremely powerful and influential in South Florida. A lot of people, not just obviously in the sports world, but in the business world and outside of that, all deal with him, work with him. He's based in South Florida. So the fact that this happened to one of his clients definitely plays a factor in this, and I think was why so much of the immediacy for Tyreek Hill was to, hey, get Drew on the phone, because he will be the person quickest to get this straightened out.
I thought it too, it's a good point. I also thought there's a different power dynamic here. Drew Rosenhaus works for Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill works for the Dolphins.
Right. Like, he might not want the Dolphins to even know this is happening.
Well, maybe. Is there some part of a delusional part where you think they're not going to find out? They're definitely going to find out. I mean, he's got to know that. But I maybe understand the first instinct is not to call your employer.
Totally.
But, you know, again, like, it's all going to happen. But that was just like, there's a little bit of a different thing here where Drew Rosenhaus, that he works for Tyreek Hill. So maybe you want someone like that.
Obviously, this community, like this. Yeah, if this was in Green Bay, it's a totally different thing going on. If this is in Philly, you could call the Eagles. You call Big Dom. That would probably be your first call.
I'm being dead serious. How I could forget.
Like, you, right. Big I mean, Dom the guy is the most famous fixer in the NFL. Dom probably would be down there in 3 seconds and have the whole thing resolved. I'm kind of joking, but I do think the fact that Miami has a very loose connection to South Florida. The Dolphins, if you go down to a Dolphins game, it doesn't feel the same way other communities feel about their football team.
Well, I mean, there's two ways to look at that. You know, you could look at it in this instance, maybe it didn't help Tyreek Hill because his celebrity didn't matter.
Right.
And they still got dragged out of the car and put on the ground and all that. You could look at it, though, with a different way, which is, should guys get preferential treatment just because they play football? Maybe you want a little bit more of distance between the police and the teams and stuff like that. But in this instance, we'll keep it on Tyreek Hill. You know, it's weird to say he's got the moral high ground here. We just had a call from Atlanta, Sean, who said, no, Tyreek Hill was in the wrong. He didn't, to the T, cooperate with the cops. You know, they're saying, roll down the window. He's not doing it in a timely enough fashion. He's not yes sir, no sir-ing and that. And I just think that it was jarring for a lot of people, including ourselves, to see him ripped out of the car. And even if you take him out of the car, to then take him to the ground, when he doesn't have a weapon on him, right? He doesn't have anything that's being aggressive, to put him on the ground, to keep him on the ground, to keep him in handcuffs, to make him sit when he's saying, I've got knee surgery, all these things that just felt like every spot could have been avoided and wasn't.
Yeah, definitely.
855-212-4227.
Meanwhile, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm wearing a Brock Purdy for MVP shirt. This has to come off. I think I'm allergic to it, Maggie.
What do you mean? You're allergic to wearing a 49ers thing because you're an Eagles fan?
No, there's something about this T-shirt. I don't know where it's been, but there's... I mean, it was very generous of someone to mail it to us, but there's just... you ever wear a shirt, like maybe from a thrift store or something, and it feels like there's like a layer of something on it?
That was a gift, Pearl.
No, I know, but I just, for some reason, I don't know. I'm like kind of, I have like a small rash developing. Like,
God.
Things are going off with this T-shirt.
By the way, that's not the person who sent us the shirt's fault. It sat in the office for almost 6 months. That's our fault.
It could easily be that. And I'm very sensitive to allergens. So, I'm going to have
to. Tough as nails over here, Andrew.
I have to take off this Brock Purdy T-shirt. I'm sorry. It's nothing against Brock Purdy.
Are you chafing?
Oh, my God. I don't know what's going on. Like, everything is uncomfortable. You ever have a T-shirt that just doesn't feel perfectly right? There's no worse feeling.
It's like he can barely do the show now.
I know.
You're this
thrown off. I am so sorry. This is a very, very serious topic we're talking about, but I'm a little itchy.
Of course you are. 855-212-4227. Mr. Sensitive Skin, Andrew Perloff. Everything's got to be perfect.
Ugh.
All right. We got a lot to do. Who wants to talk about Deshaun Watson?
Oh.
That uplifting topic. Again, Amy Dash, our Odyssey legal correspondent, is going to join us. We also see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about last night's game. You want to talk about what's going on with the Steelers. We have a Jordan Love update that we have to get you as well. The Packers quarterback, a little more clarity on what could be going on with his knee. So we have a lot of football and a lot to do. Again, 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on Tyreek Hill. So much is left. Get to us early and often. We can watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and also on X at Maggie Green.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Maggie, I had to change my Brock Purdy for MVP t-shirt. I was developing a small rash. Yeah, I'm very... Does anybody relate to this? I need... soft t-shirts. I need the right kind of t-shirt. Like, I don't care what the t-shirt says or looks like. Yeah, now I need to borrow some ointment. Like,
yes, you're like a manly man.
Yeah, I know. Listen, yeah. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I'm not gonna present like I'm some tough guy here. Like, nothing
we
can ruin
we
my,
know. Nothing you weren't presenting that way, so don't worry.
Nothing you made me look tough, which says a lot.
Well, I mean,
if it's not 100% Egyptian cotton, Perloff's got no time for it.
We all know there are levels of t-shirts. When we used to make a lot of t-shirts at the Dan Patrick Show, you could buy basically a $5 base t-shirt or a $10 base t-shirt. And to me, I always invest in the quality of the cotton. Is that is that soft?
Technically, yes, it is softer. But again, this was a t-shirt that was a gift. I don't know how much they really intended for us to wear these shirts. It was Brock Purdy for MVP shirt. And I think it was sent kind of tongue in cheek because I had been critical of Purdy throughout the season, saying that McCaffrey's the real star of the team, the real MVP of the team.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. It turns out Jordan Mason is the real star of the team. 147 yards on 28 carries.
Yeah,
last
night. You might not even realize you're doing it. You do get slight little jabs in on Brock Purdy.
I noticing how well last night.
You're like, oh, his receivers were so open last night. You did say that at one point.
That's just the truth.
I don't know. He made some pretty darn good throws to
me. He definitely did. He definitely made some really good throws. But this is the run game that sets this all up.
Yeah, again, a little bit of a shot.
It's not a shot. I said their head and shoulders are actually just shoulders above everyone else, along with Kansas City.
I don't know. We might have to set up a rule do an hour where you can say nothing but glowing things about Brock Purdy.
He's a really good quarterback.
I don't know. Bogus, what do you think? Do you think she's in on Brock Purdy?
No.
I am. All I said about Brock Purdy over the offseason was this. And by the way, tell me if you guys think I'm wrong about this. What I said was, if they go back to the Super Bowl, most likely whoever they face in the AFC is going to perceive to be the better quarterback. And I'm still right about that. Whether it's Mahomes, who is the better quarterback, whether it's Lamar, whether it's Joe Burrow, maybe by a prayer, Josh Allen.
Yeah,
he's going to be the not better quarterback in that matchup. That's all I said. And I get labeled as the hater.
And reality. And that's a 5-person list. Aaron Rodgers would be a better quarterback head to head if it's Brock Purdy. On paper, after a full season of Rodgers, my assumption would be we'd still assume he's the better quarterback.
Well, I know those guys are more talented, but honestly, like, Josh Allen's not running the plays. He's just holding the ball every time. Same with Lamar Jackson. Like, they're just running.
Well, Josh Brock isn't going to make it until the end of the season if he keeps playing.
Yeah, Josh Allen's
going
to drop back and throw the football at some point. Like, these guys, like, a lot of the guys are doing, they're more dynamic, but Brock Purdy is running the offense.
He does a great
job. In a way
job.
That those other quarterbacks are not, except for Mahomes.
And to be honest, I mean, he ran for a first down, Purdy did last night, and instead of sliding, went head first and got the first down. I mean, I'm always a proponent of sliding, especially you have that kind of team, you're going to be able to pick up a yard. Like, don't worry about, get down. But He puts himself out there. He's a tough dude. I've got nothing bad to say.
He's pretty mobile. He's mobile enough. And here's the bottom line. He fits that Kyle Shanahan thing perfectly. I mean, Shanahan is so happy with him. So regardless of, even if he goes against Justin Herbert or he goes against CJ Stroud, you're right. I can't find a quarterback that has a chance of making the Super Bowl. There's no one on this. I'm looking at the whole AFC. You're absolutely right. But for what Kyle Shanahan wants, I think he would take Purdy over a bunch of those guys. Because he is running exactly what the Niners need.
Purdy saved their butts. They would have.
I'm going to put on the T-shirt again.
They would have. Oh,
Rash
wow.
be darned.
Oh, man. Hashtag
They'd walked
warrior.
Away the shirt.
Quickly, I want to go to Eric, who's in New Mexico. We've been talking about the Tyreek Hill situation this morning. The body cam footage got released. And Eric, I'm to understand you are a police dispatcher. Wanted to weigh in on the situation. Good morning.
That's correct. I've worked for three different agencies as a dispatcher, one in Alabama and two here in Albuquerque. And I work currently. I'm thinking of work, actually. And I heard that caller, and I just wanted to say, yeah, we're conditioned to say yes, sir, no, sir. I mean, I'm from the South. When you deal with the police, because you're definitely afraid. I mean, even now, if the lights get come on behind me and I pull over to the right and they keep going, my heart is kind of stopping, you know, because I know that the way they deal with people, the way they're conditioned to deal with us, it could go wrong real bad. Now, just because Tyreek was not respectful, maybe, as that guy said, doesn't mean that he deserved to have a knee in his back and be handcuffed. Yeah. I mean, that was excessive, and we should really not... We should not be conditioned that way, but we are, and the way they were talking to him, you know, one guy was effing this, and I was like, you know, the way that it's supposed to work, and like I said, I feel him come on the radio talking to somebody who's giving them guff, and I understand it, but you're not supposed to start off with that, but they started off with that. I mean, the whole conversation was just, it was condescending, it was... we're in charge.
Yeah,
you know this sort of thing. I don't know if he's going to sue. I think if the police do the right thing and punish this guy, at least that one guy, the one that was
aggressive. Yeah,
Calais Campbell too. And how can you? I mean, he got handcuffed just for watching or being too close or what have you. I mean, it's like I'm the boss. You do what I say.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, when someone's got a gun, you have to deal with that, but that doesn't make it right. And so for him to say that for the caller in Atlanta to say that Tyreek was in the wrong, that wasn't justified. That just wasn't justified.
Yeah, and Eric is a dispatcher in New Mexico. Thank you for weighing in. And even if, again, and EJ's brought up this point a couple times, did Tyreek Hill act perfectly? No. Could he have done things differently? He could have kept the window down. Just keep the window down. They're asking you to keep the window down. And yes, and I guess maybe a yes or no, sir, maybe could have helped. But did he do enough to warrant being thrown on the ground, ripped out of your car, thrown on the ground, and put in handcuffs? No one who watched that body cam, even our caller Sean in Atlanta, who thought that Tyreek Hill was in the wrong, Sean still said he didn't deserve to be put in handcuffs and thrown to the ground like that.
Oh, no. I'm really curious here from Amy, too, because I want to know legally what the options here. Like, do the police have a right to do? Was that within what the police are allowed to do? Maybe it is. I have to plead ignorance there. Like, maybe there's a established sort of code here. Like, listen, if you pull over, the police are in a very vulnerable situation, so they get a little leeway.
Yeah, there were a lot of cops that pulled them over, too. Was it three cops on motorcycles? And I don't know about the other ones. All right, we see you guys on the phones. We will get back to you. Andrew Bogusch has headlines on all the other things happening today.
Those headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. They had Aaron Rodgers for more than four snaps. They did not have to deal with Christian McCaffrey, but the opening Monday night still did not go well for the Jets. A 32-19 dud in Santa Clara. Rodgers led one long, impressive TD drive in the first half, but not much else.
Yeah, I mean, I felt overall I was getting the ball out pretty good. But, yeah, I had some opportunities, but I'd like back.
They also didn't have many opportunities in general, just 21 minutes of possession. That's apparently the lowest total ever for a Rodgers offense. Most of that blame goes to Jordan Mason, who filled in for McCaffrey and his calf with 147 yards and a score. His QB, Brock Purdy.
Obviously, you know, Christian is the best, you know, in the league at running back and what he does. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I think JP did a good job of coming in and filling his void and doing his job to allow other guys to get open and allow us to run our offense.
Purdy threw for 231 yards, but no scores, chump. Brandon Ayuk had just two catches, 28 yards after his hold-in. While they were playing, we were processing Tyreek Hill's body cam footage and new allegations against Deshaun Watson. In a statement, the Dolphins called the officer's actions, quote, overly aggressive and violent, and that it was, quote, maddening and heartbreaking to see it. The police union released their own statement before we saw the video, saying Hill was redirected to the ground because he was not complying with orders. Watson, meanwhile, is facing the most serious sexual assault allegations yet. A Houston woman has filed a civil suit seeking over $1 million in damages. She says Watson assaulted her in her apartment in October 2022. The Browns and NFL declined comment. Some injury news now from the gridiron. The Packers not putting Jordan Love and his knee on IR just yet. Malik Willis will start as long as necessary. Rams receiver Puka Nacua does go on IR after aggravating his right knee issues Sunday night in Detroit. Nacua will have to miss at least four games. Pirates rookie righty Paul Skenes K'd 9-6 in a 3-2 win over the Marlins last night. Skenes' ERA is now 2.10, and Shiloh Sanders had surgery yesterday for the right forearm injury he suffered in Saturday night's loss at Nebraska. Guys, back to you.
Speaking of Colorado, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, the loss to Nebraska. Apparently, the shine has really come off Deion in terms of NFL circles. I don't know if any of you guys saw Mike Sando's column from The Athletic. He talked to a couple NFL executives who, you know, said this time last year, people were saying, well, maybe Deion, he's such a breath of fresh air. He's, you know, very honest about the college football and the and his team, and he's got this sort of new thing going, and we were all caught up in it because Deion landed like a house on fire in Colorado. Sure. And it was super fun, and The Rock is there and everything. I'll find the quote for you. It was not glowing. Listen, Deion has always said that he doesn't want to coach in the NFL. He's maintained that. I will find it. If you want to vamp for a second, I can find it for you.
I just had a question for you guys on that. I was thinking about this on Saturday, watching that destruction of Colorado. Is there a more than 0% chance that this is Deion's last year at Colorado? I mean, they didn't look like a team that was going to win 8, 9, 10 games this year on the field. And Shador is going to get drafted, and his kind of adopted son, Travis Hunter, is going to get drafted real high.
Shiloh's gone, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Shiloh, I guess his career may be over now. Like, I just kind of wonder, given how this whole thing is trending, how prickly Deion's been with the media, I kind of wonder if he's kind of had enough of this. Maybe he's like, you know what? I got my kids drafted. That's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just move on and go back to being a famous person. Like, we see, you know, the Maddie Johnson, some of these guys who are super famous and super in our face, have these jobs and be out, like, kind of quick before you even know it. I'm starting to get that feeling that this may be the Deion Sanders experience at Colorado as well.
But you say that, I mean, there are a lot of people who wondered how long Deion would last. You're saying it almost implies like this is going to come sooner than most people expected. But there were people who kind of thought from the get-go that Deion was not long-lived for Colorado. I think you were one of them, EJ.
But maybe that he'd go to a different program, that he would just stop coaching.
Coaching, yeah.
I got a job for him. Why does he? He loves Antonio Pierce. Loves him. The Raiders coach. The Raiders looked terrible week one. Why don't they draft Shador and bring on Deion as an either slash coach slash ambassador, Vegas style?
Shador
welcomes people at the door. Yeah, I don't know.
He handles the
There's got to be a job
gamblers.
For
Didn't
Deion.
Like Joe Frazier do that or something at a casino at the end of his career?
Totally. That's a thing. I think Deion, if he is going to go to the pros in some form or other, I mean, Vegas has got to be the spot. I mean, that just fits too perfectly. Shador, we thought for a second
let's add
maybe
Deion Sanders to that mix. That's going to fix everything.
Well, I mean, come on. Look at I'm not saying it's going to fix everything, but it's consistent with their recent behavior as a franchise.
Here is the quote from Mike Sando's column. It's a great question, EJ. And he can just go back to being Deion Sanders and no one's going to be the wiser. Here's the quote from Mike Sando's column about Deion, reassessing Deion Sanders 1 year later. According to one NFL exec, he looks like a guy who lacks detail. His hard edge style is running people out of there and he's just really promoting his son. Quote, there's nothing wrong with what he said last year, that he tells the truth and connects with players, said another executive, but there's a lot more that goes into it than connecting with players and telling the truth to the media about the state of college athletics. A lot more goes into winning, like blocking and tackling and protecting the passer and having the quarterback not scramble so frequently that everything is off timing. So, yeah, Deion as a coach is X's and O's wise is not winning rave reviews with the NFL types.
I feel compelled to stick up for Deion. One thing, he took over the worst program in the country.
That's
true. Colorado was hot garbage. Yeah.
And he doesn't have two maybe first round picks on his team.
Yeah, but he had to build a transfer team, and that's challenging. So
he's also electing to do that. Remember, he's like, I can't go into a high school because I'm too famous. And it was like,
Well,
I think Nick Saban went to a lot of high schools and he's very famous.
But he took over a one-win team. I mean, he had to bring in a whole new team. I'm not sure that name another coach who was going to fix Colorado. I'm not sure that was happening.
That's a fair point.
And also, one thing about Deion, and tell me if you guys disagree, during a game, it doesn't feel like he's totally incompetent. Like he seems like his game management is adequate. I mean, at least, like, you don't watch a game and be like, man, that guy inside. EJ disagrees with me.
I disagree with you, too.
I feel like he has a good sense.
But it's terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Really? I don't think he's terrible.
Like calling timeouts and stuff?
Like fourth down decisions and stuff. He's, like, totally normal.
Who cares that it's fourth and 11? I mean, he even said, like, we had no idea how to fix this.
Damage is done during the week. I honestly, I feel like game management, no one's saying, like, oh, he's such an awful game manager. I haven't heard that. But you're right. They're getting killed. Like, game management isn't even a topic.
Yeah, so his Dan Campbell fourth down decisions don't matter if it's 28-0 at halftime in Nebraska.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is he's not calling plays on either side, so he's kind of a manager. Or
I don't know. When I watch him, it's just like he's hanging out at a football game. Like, there's nothing.
He took off the headset and went over and yelled at all of them.
But you always picture him, and it's like fourth and six, and he's always like, I want to go for this, but I can't. communicates that very well to the camera.
They can't get fourth and one, let alone go fourth and six. Let's try to get a yard if you're Colorado.
Early in the season, there have been some moments with Deion. I mean, that Nebraska game, end of the first half, the clock's just winding down. He has three timeouts. And it's like he forgot he was the head coach. And, like, I think Colt McCoy's like, hey, are they going to get timeout here? And then Deion, like, oh, snap, I'm the coach. Runs and calls a timeout, loses like 10, 15 seconds off the clock. When you're down, they had that weird throwing the ball deep. I guess that was technically Shador's decision, but throwing the ball deep when all they need to do was basically kneel to win the game. I was getting Miami PTSD watching that happen.
I thought Shador opted into that.
Yeah, because Deion told us that he did, and isn't that the head coach's fault? I mean, your quarterback shouldn't make that decision because you were coaching him correctly.
I just think that, I mean, it's funny because everybody who was so into Deion at 3-0 is now like, we get the exact opposite energy of how they were into him. They're against him. I want to be in the middle. I want to be consistent and be like, oh, we're overhyping him. Now we're overhyping how bad he is.
Well, I was never in, so I feel very happy right now.
Never in when they were 3-0?
No. I don't like the dude. I don't think that
Maggie bought his sunglasses.
You know, I know.
I went as him for Halloween.
Yeah,
as a tribute. I did not think he was a great coach.
Nobody thinks that Deion Sanders is the reincarnation of Bill Walsh. Like, he's Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
right?
Some people did it 3-0.
It's a different thing he's got going.
He's got his fans, and he won a lot of games at Jackson State, so you're like, well, maybe he is a good coach, but you're seeing some cracks. Okay, 855-212-4227. Bogues, thank you. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Tyreek Hill. This body cam footage came out. Do you think that it was excessive? Which it definitely was, but are you blaming Tyreek at all for not acting perfectly during this traffic stop because he wouldn't put his window down or wouldn't keep the window down? Didn't yes or no, so the police... it's just ugly. Ugly all the way around. Again, 855-212-4227. We have to get to some leftovers from week one. Something a little too good to be true, Perloff? Or was something too bad to be true? We'll explain it all next. It's Maggie and Perloff. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So much to get today. A lot of news going on. Tyreek Hill, the body cam footage came out yesterday. He was on CNN last night. Disturbing footage, for sure. We also have some new allegations and new civil suit being brought against Deshaun Watson for yet another sexual assault allegation. William is in California, wants to talk about Tyreek Hill. Good morning, William. How are you?
I'm doing well, Maggie. How are you this morning?
We're good. What's up, dude?
I have a couple of thoughts, but real quick. Brock Purdy, naysayers, keep disrespecting him. Keep fueling his fire. He's perfectly fine with
Perloff
that.
Is misrepresenting how I'm talking about Brock Purdy, William. Don't fall for it.
He's going to be the worst quarterback in any Super Bowl matchup they made.
Just because they're playing against the AFC, and that's how the Super Bowl works.
Do you understand how that can be perceived as negative?
No, I think that we'd all agree that Mahomes is better than Brock Purdy. I think we'd agree Lamar Jackson's won two MVPs. On paper, he's the better quarterback. Sorry, William.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Just keep feeding his inner fire. Remember,
okay.
Some of the best teams in history had a Bart Starr. Okay,
it's true.
Anyway, the reason I called, I had a couple of thoughts, and my first thought was on this Tyreek situation. I wonder if the Miami police, and this is in lieu of the fact there's a lot of celebrities, high profile people down there in that town in South Beach. Okay, I wonder if they have meetings where they say, "Listen, you know." These people, some of them think they own the world, can do whatever they want. But what we need to do is when we get in these situations, we exercise a lot of discretion, you know. And I'm not saying when to do it, but if you get in a situation, you know, like they are with Tyreek, and I don't know if they knew it was him before they threw him to the ground, but it's kind of like we need to be careful here, especially in lieu of the fact that we have not had the best reputation in recent years, okay? That was my first thought. Okay, my second thought is when the smoke clears and, you know, all the information, you know, comes in or whatever, I wonder if the front office of the NFL is going to weigh in on this.
Yeah, that's a great question, William. Two good ones. Thank you. And three good comments,
thank
considering
you.
Brock Purdy also had himself quite a game last night. The run game really was the story, but Purdy was very, very good. Okay, two things. One, cops with celebrities and sort of, is there a different kind of playbook or rule book or training or whatever that they may have? That certainly, if there is, that didn't come through. We do know that at one point on the body cam footage, they do say, hey, it's Tyreek Hill. So somebody in that, with all the cops there, was aware of who he was.
Right, but it's a lot of the actions that were taken, we don't know that everybody knew.
Everybody knew.
Yeah,
right,
it was pretty clear some people did not.
They may not have. Now, that's just, you know, as like, quote unquote, regular people, that can be kind of scary because it's like, oh, are cops just worried about bad PR? Well, what about the rest of us? You know, should we all get treated the same and with the same amount of discretion or respect or whatever that a celebrity and that a famous person would get? You'd hope so. As far as the NFL, they better weigh in at some point because you know, admitted they were wrong when Colin Kaepernick spoke out about, you know, police injustice. He got blackballed for it. And they have claimed to, you know, very much want to be part of the solution in terms of police and communities and having good relationships. I mean, they were very outspoken after George Floyd about trying to right some of the wrongs here that they did. Roger Goodell was very outspoken about that. To not weigh in on this situation feels like that'd be a miss for them.
Well, by you saying that, you mean do you think everything's been determined about where the blame lies?
Maybe not yet, but that body cam footage is pretty aggressive towards Hill.
I would like to see if this goes to court, like maybe the NFL wants to wait and at least see everything possible about the case before they weigh in, because what if they weighed in and there's more information out there?
Listen, Tyreek Hill is not a perfect person by any stretch. You know, whatever happened with this thing on Sunday, he definitely appears and looks more like the victim than he is obviously the aggressor. The cops look very aggressive here. But as far as Tyreek Hill's backstory and other things in his life, he is not somebody who generally should get the benefit of the doubt. He's got some really bad things in his past in terms of domestic violence, those child abuse accusations, and other things. Now, that doesn't play into what happened Sunday, but if you're just talking about the full scope of the man, he doesn't get a lot of sympathy.
I can't remember. Did the PGA weigh in on Scottie Scheffler?
That's a good question.
I'm not, I mean, it's an interesting question. What is the league's responsibility here? I'm not sure it's that clear, as you say it is.
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. 855-212-4227, although what golf always does isn't exactly the right thing. All right, coming up, more on this and Deshaun Watson.